We are going to study a little bit that when Jesus Christ comes, He's going to transform us like Him. When we are born again, what happens? Our spirit is born. Our soul is transformed. But the body is still not changed. Okay, let me have a word of prayer and then we start. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to glorify your name. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. Give us grace to study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's start from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and start from verse 22.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Okay, waiting for the redemption of our body. We are living in the body. We have a soul, we have a spirit. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are born again. Means our spirit is reborn. Our spirit is quickened. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, when Jesus Christ has quickened our spirit. But here it says, the whole creation is groaning. Means whole creation is not free yet. We are set free because we are the children of God. But the whole world, whole creation, still groaning. The time is coming that whole creation will be set free. Now, all the animals and everyone, they are each other's enemy. When Adam committed sin, before that, all lions and the cow, they used to eat grass. Lion did not eat cow, or tiger did not eat cow in those days. Because of sin, the curse came to the world. Go to the Genesis chapter 3, actually, and start reading from verse 17 to 19.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Now see, the man committed sin, and the curse came to the ground. Now again we see in Genesis chapter 4, and start reading from verse 11 and 12. When Cain committed sin, again the curse came to the ground again.
And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
See, when Adam committed sin, the curse came to ground. The Cain committed sin, more curse came to the ground. Now that curse is still around all over the world. But the Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Please read.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Now here it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now somebody would say, Adam committed sin, the curse came to the ground. Cain committed sin, curse came to the ground. That time there was no law. How can he say, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? Only you will know, you go to the Deuteronomy chapter 28, first 13 to 14 verses, the word of God says, when you trust in the Lord, obey the Lord, and do everything according to His word, all the blessings are there. But once you disobey God, then the curses started from verse 15. Now the whole chapter is there, but I just wanted to give only a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28 Start verse 15. And if you have time at home, you can read the whole thing. But when you finish 15, then read verse 45.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Verse 45.
Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
See, here it says when God gives the law and commandments to the children of God, and if they don't obey the commandments of God and they don't obey the Lord, then the curse comes on the mankind, mean the children of God. And if you read that whole chapter after 15, so many curses are there. And if somebody, backslidden Christian, or the person is not living a Christian life, they can identify why these problems are coming to me. These verses will say. But the Word of God says, as we read in the Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But the ground is not redeemed. Still we have thorns and thistles. Still we have animal eating each other, and man and animal, they are enemy to each other. It didn't change. Only thing changed that God took the curse from us, means now we do not have to die and go to hell, because Jesus Christ came and he obeyed the commandments of God, and on the cross he said, it is finished. That means mankind doesn't have to do anything, just believe. That's why we read in St. John chapter 5, verse 24, if you believe Jesus Christ, and if you believe the Father sent him, he said you have eternal life, and you pass from death unto life, and no condemnation. Only it happens in Christ Jesus. That's why we are telling other people, you know, you are under the curse, you are going to go to hell, you are enemy to God, and your life is miserable. Simply come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and say, Jesus, you paid the price, and now I trust in you. And once the person does that, he is passed from death unto life, and no condemnation. That's what the curse is removed. But the curse on the ground and the curse on the mankind still there, means the body is still under this curse. Means if somebody pinch me or poke me, the blood will come, the pain will be there, because this body is still not transformed. Our soul is transformed, our spirit is transformed, but this body is not transformed. That's why we read in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That means we are still groaning in pain, and suffering is there. But once you are born again, child of God, the Word of God says, with his stripes we are healed. All these thorns and thistles and sickness and disease can come to Christians and non-Christians. But we have the power over sickness and disease. The St. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So these are the enemy's tools, the thorns, the thistles, the all kinds of chemicals and everything is to destruction for the mankind. But once we trust in the Lord, when we have sickness, disease, pain or anything, we call upon Jesus and he takes care of our pain. He takes care of our suffering. Somebody says, I don't believe that. I believe it. If somebody have a throbbing pain, toothache, you put your hand in the name of Jesus and say, be healed. Instantly that man's or the lady's pain will be gone. I have prayed for many, and it happens, and it works. So that is still there, but the Word of God says, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. Our body is not transformed. So once Christ comes, He will transform our body. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, start reading from verse 50. 15, start reading from verse 50, 50.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
See, we shall be changed. Now, this is not talking about our spirit. This is talking about our body. Now we are living in corruptible body, but this body has to change. And St. Paul says this is the mystery. Many people do not know. Other religious people, they don't know. And Jewish people didn't know. But St. Paul saying this is the mystery. When Jesus Christ comes, he's going to transform our body. We cannot go to heaven with this physical body. Now somebody says, how come Elijah went and how come Enoch went? God transformed them. The Word of God says God translated them, transformed them, and then took them. And still, even though they are in heaven, we do not know what they're doing and what is their mission right now. They are waiting for the second order, so they will come back to this earth and they will be killed, they will be martyrs, and then they will have a resurrected body. Right now, the body they have, whatever the body God has given them, is not a resurrected body. Resurrected body is just like a Christ-like body. When Christ came from the grave and he could go through the closed door, he could eat, he could drink, and he could disappear and he could come again. That's the kind of body is like a Christ-like body. But that body we are waiting for, and the Word of God says that body we will get when Jesus Christ comes. Let's read the verse 53.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
See, here it says, this corruptible must. There is no other way. No one can go to heaven with this body. Now, the astronauts and cosmonauts, they're going to the moon and higher than moon, and they're seeking the heaven. Today, one man I was talking, he said, where is heaven? Is it in the sky? Where is it? I cannot see it. I said, sir, if you could see the heaven with your eyes, anybody can get into there. It's not you cannot see with your eyes. God lives far above. So we cannot reach there with this physical body. This body is corruptible. This body is not changed. So Jesus Christ only has power to change this body. Read that last 54 verse.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
What does it mean? Once Jesus Christ comes, then our body is completely transformed, then there is no death again. We are not going to die anymore. Jesus Christ said, in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25 or so, he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Please read 25 and 26.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
See, here it says, if you believe in me, you will not die. And if you're dead and you believed me, you will also come to life. And if you're alive, you will never die. And somebody would say, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that. And many people are died. And everybody is dying. So what, Jesus Christ was lying? No. If Jesus Christ comes today, then this verse comes to life. If he comes today, we don't have to die. The dead in Christ, let's go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 16 and 17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Now, here is the mystery. Jesus Christ is coming. He comes. The dead in Christ rise first. And somebody says, how it rise? But if you have to read the whole thing, if you read from verse 13 to 18, it says all the dead people's spirit is in heaven. So he brings the spirits of those dead people and then put those dead people's spirits in their body. Now somebody says somebody died maybe 200 years ago. Their body is decayed and somebody died in the water. Somebody was burned. What happens? Nothing is vanished. Something is in air, something is in water, somewhere is there. When God gives the command, all these particles comes together and makes one body. And then when that body takes form and transforms. So God has power to do that. How the man God made? He just took the mud and made the clay and made the man. The same God can call out that body. Doesn't matter where that body is going to come. Doesn't matter it's burned or buried or even that they take some of the people now they're saying we take the ashes and now we want to put it in a moon or somewhere. Doesn't matter where they put. God can change it and bring the body. And then he says when we are alive, we can be transformed and then we'll go together. And here he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, when you read that, people are thinking, once we go, we are gone, and we are not coming back. No. He says, wherever the Lord will go, we will go follow him. He comes, takes the bride, takes the people, and then the tribulation starts in this world for 7 years. After the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes with all the saints who went there. And we are coming back. Now, why are we coming back? We are coming back for the millennium. And so we will be coming like a body like Christ, and we will be ruling, and we will be living here for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be loose, and then he goes and brings all the enemies to fight with God's people. The word of God says the fire comes from heaven, destroys all the enemies, get hold of Satan again and put him in the lake of fire. But when Christ comes, he gets hold of the false prophet and the Antichrist and puts them in the lake of fire. So the false prophet, Antichrist, and the devil will be put in the same lake of fire. Now somebody says, where is the lake of fire? Most of the people are teaching the hell is underground. Lake of fire is not underground. Because this earth will be vanished. This earth will be gone. So there is another place. I don't know what planet God made for the lake of fire. There will be those people will for eternity. This earth, this heaven is going to pass away. So in short, we are waiting that Jesus Christ will come and change us and we will be like him. And that's hope. We have and we are waiting for that day. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 2. Start reading from verse 13.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
See, if you want to make a peace with God, we have to be a new man. The physical body, physical mind, the carnal mind is enmity to God. We cannot be one with God until we are born again and we are completely transformed. Then we will be with God for eternity. Until then, we are waiting for Christ to come. Okay, keep on reading.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
See, now we are no more strangers. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. He came, he died for us, he redeemed our spirit. Now he is coming back to take us home. Why? Because we are not the citizen of this world. We are the citizen of heaven. And that's what we have to think. Jesus Christ is coming from heaven. We are belong to heaven. We cannot go to heaven with a sinful body. We cannot go to heaven with a living in this physical body. Our body has to be transformed, and then we can go to the heavenly kingdom, and there will be the citizen of God having fellowship with the saints who are in heaven already. And then we became all together one family, household of God. Okay, let's go to the Philippians chapter 3. Because we are the citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20-21.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now here is our conversation. Actually is our citizenship. So our citizenship is in heaven. We are living on earth, but we are belong to Christ. We are belong to heavenly kingdom. So we are always thinking to go to heaven. So when he is coming from heaven, he is coming with a heavenly body, and he is going to transform our body. Read the following verse.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?
See, when he is coming, he is going to make our body just like his body, and he has power to do this. So our God is coming, means Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming for his people. He's coming for his bride. He's coming to transform us, and he wants to take us to heavenly kingdom. If you read in St. John chapter 14 and first two verses, he already gave the assurance to the children of God. He says, be not be troubled in your heart. But many people and many Christian scholars teaching today, we are not going to go anywhere. We are going to stay in this world. This world is not going to change. And we are going to stay in this world for eternity. That's the wrong teaching. Please read.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
See here, very clear. He says, I'm going to go to heaven. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, but those are not for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that prepare a place is called a Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the bright place. So he's going to prepare the place. And then he said, I'll come and I'll receive you to myself. So wherever I am, there you also be. So we are going to go to heaven with Christ. And that should be our hope, and that should be our thoughts, and that should be our desire. But if somebody comes along and say, you know, this world is not going to vanish, this world is going to be forever, and we read in the Revelation, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, it's not coming down from heaven to this filthy earth. This earth will be gone. What he says, God is going to make new heaven, new Jerusalem. It's not the same one. He says this old earth will be passed away and it's going to go away. So when we're thinking that Jesus Christ is coming, so we should be thinking about him. Let's read the Colossians chapter 3 and start reading from verse 1 to 4.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
See, if you say, if you are born again child of God, and if you're thinking I belong to Christ, then you should be thinking about heaven. And you're thinking about heavenly things, not the earthly things. Verse 3.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
So he says, for you are dead. Now somebody says, I'm still alive. No, we are alive for Christ, but we are dead to sin. We are not living for the world, we are living for Christ. And the other people, they are dead to God, alive to the world. But we are dead to sin, and we are living for God. So that's why some other people do not understand us. When we talk spiritual thing, they talk physical thing. They say, don't you live in the same world? Don't you have feelings like us? Can't you do things like we do? No, we are dead to sin. We have no desire to drink wine. We have no desire to go after other women. We don't have desire to rob the bank. We don't have desire to be somebody and kill somebody, because those desires are the worldly. The devil doing it. Now we have Christ in us, so we are transformed and we are living for Christ, and we are not thinking building big mansions on this earth. This earth is going to pass away. So whatever the room or house we have, the word of God says, be satisfied what you have. Don't look at somebody's other things and get attracted and try to get those things, because we are going to go to heaven. And he says, you are dead, and your life is hidden in Christ. Means, if my life is hidden in Christ, then what? Somebody will see Christ only, right? They don't see me because I'm hidden. If you hid something in something, then you know you just see outward things. So the word of God says, all the believers, they are putting on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, he says, we are putting on Christ, we are living for Christ, we are hidden in Christ. Okay, let's read the verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
See here, when Christ, who is our life, that's what the Christian's supposed to say. I don't have life. My life is Christ. That means I live for him, I die for him, and whatever I do on earth, I do it for him. So I live for Christ. And Christ is my life. Without Christ, I have no life. Now somebody does something, fighting and war and killing each other and this and that. Say, hey, my hands are crucified. I cannot hit somebody. I cannot kill somebody. I cannot do any robbing, anything, because I'm dead. Not only that, my life is Christ. If Christ is living in me, Christ will not do the filthy things. So if you are if you are living in Christ and Christ lives in you, you will not do anything harm to anybody, or you will not do any sinful things. So he said, Christ is going to appear. He's going to come soon, and then he is going to give you his whole glory. The word of God says, the man committed sin, book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. Because of sin, man lost the glory. But the sin is out, Christ in us, then we have the glory of God. We're supposed to shine for Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world, so you shine. Our life is here to shine for Christ. And so somebody says, we are waiting for him when he is going to come. We read the other day, if you remember, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 37. He's coming within a short period of time.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Yet a little while. Now just think, if you're having a good time, time runs fast. And if you're bored, time doesn't go fast. But if you're having fun, wow, time is gone. So when you are busy with the Lord's work and you have planned so many things for the glory of God, you are running out of time. So time is very short, but when you are really, really busy with God, that time looks like a very little time. On this earth, how long are we going to live? Even though we live 140 years, they are not living today. people will be living. They are talking about now we can live 200 years. There are pills and medicine. They say we can live 200 years. So what I'm trying to say, even the 109 or 110 or 200 years, comparing to eternity, this is a very short time. We are living on earth. So this is a very little time. Just think, somebody promise you, I'm going to give you $1 million. Today, what time? Such and such a time. People lining up midnight. Because they're in the movie, they have to watch movie and certain time. They go 2 days early and camping there for the seeing movie. If somebody promised $1 million, they will go to his door and say, don't come to my house. I will come to your door and sleep overnight. I need that money. But here the word of God is saying, we are looking for Christ. Now we have to be busy doing the Lord's work. He said, occupy until I come. And so what occupying means? Occupying means not doing your lottery business or some other filthy things. Not occupying with that. Occupying winning souls. Occupying doing something good for the Lord and waiting upon Him. Because our life is hidden in Him. He is coming. And He says, a little while. And somebody says, little while is too long. Go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. How long it is? Verse 8 and 9.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Now we have trouble. If the one day like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a one day. Now which calendar we are looking at? God says, if you say He's coming in one day, He says that one day in my calendar is 1,000 years. So what we are thinking, when you are sick, we say, when the day will come, when the people are very painful, oh, I'm waiting for the day. When the day comes, so when the night will come. So they are not happy in the daytime, they are not happy in the nighttime. Because day and night, they are tormented. They are looking for some kind of remedy. The day will bring or night will bring. But when you are in the Lord, the word of God says, our trouble is for a short period of time. When we have Christ, we are not looking at our pain. We are looking at Jesus Christ. So He says He's come. And why He's waiting, the ninth verse, it says all about.
The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God is saying He's not going to change His mind. He's not forgetful. He's not lazy that He cannot come, but He's giving us time. Now just think that somebody said, this man has a death penalty, and somebody is going to pronounce the date for the death penalty. He doesn't want to die, so he might be thinking, wait, if they wait a little longer, they should not be set up the date for me, otherwise I'll be die. So they will, even though they set up the date for a 1 year, his 1 year will look like a day to him, because he is always worried about the time is running so fast. But at the same time, if somebody says, I'm going to give $1 million within the next year, that will look like a big, long year. So how you count it, according to how much relationship with you have with Jesus Christ. If I have relationship with Jesus Christ, He said, you know what? I'm giving you some time. You didn't do anything for me, I give you some time. You have in your neighborhood, you didn't preach. You didn't preach to your relatives. You didn't do anything foreign country. You didn't do anything for me. And I'm giving you a chance. Go and bring some souls to Christ. I will be happy if Jesus tarries 10 more years or 20 more years or even 100 years, because I have work to do. St. Paul says, it is very easy. I want to go to heaven and get out of this body. It will be good for me, out of the body, presence with God. But he says, I have decided to stay here just for you, so I can be useful vessel of God teaching you about Jesus Christ. So the same way we have to think. Some people, they want to go to heaven. You know when? When they are sick, they have trouble. Somebody says, tomorrow I'm going to come and kill you. Oh Lord, take me home soon, because I don't want to get killed with somebody's hand. I want to go now. But when you have a good time, Lord, please don't come. I didn't get married yet. I don't have any children yet. My children didn't go to college yet. My children didn't get married yet. Lord, don't wait for a while. So this is the mankind. We have to be ready all the time. God has timing, and I'm going to be busy with doing the Lord's work. And so some people say, don't you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. But at the same time, I want to win souls. I do not want to go empty-handed. I want to give my life. Wherever I found the time and opportunity, went and did the job, and I'm doing the same. So point I'm making, I am not saying, oh Lord, if I die today, it'll be the happiest day in my life. I'm not looking for dying. I'm looking for living for Christ. The Word of God says, if you are sleeping or even you are alive, Jesus Christ will come and will go. Only one thing, don't die in sin, and you'll be going to eternity, eternal hell. We are living for Christ, and then we have to have one desire. He's coming, and he's not going to make a delay, because he wants the whole world to get saved. So we want to be busy. So many people say, it's not my job. I'm not a pastor. Pastors, they are paid for doing the job. Nobody's paying me. Why should I go and tell somebody about God? It's not a pastor's job. It's everyone's job. Just think that house on fire on next door. Does somebody paid you to go and tell that person, come out of the house is burning? No. But you go because you love that neighbor. You want that person to come out. And somebody says, that's the nasty neighbor. I'm not going to call police. I'm just going to stand there. And you were his neighbor, and we learn you are always war with that person, and you are laughing here. So something you have to do. Until the case comes, you are doomed. So the point I'm making, we have to think that my neighbor is, his building or his life is on fire. I have to rescue that person. And that's the way Christian life we have to live. We are not living for us, we are living for others. And so Jesus Christ is coming. Go to the 1 John chapter 3. We are going to finish here. Starting from verse 1.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
See, we are the children of God. The world is enemy to us. They didn't recognize Christ. They will not recognize you. So that's why we have enmity with the worldly people. But we do not get discouraged. We are, he says, you are sons of God. Do you know if somebody's a police son? He walks like this. My dad is a police officer. And somebody says, I'm a president's son or king's son. Do you know how much power they have and how much glory they have? My father is a president or my father is a king. Our father is God who created heavens and earth. But how many Christians are thinking like, my father is God? If somebody asks me, we want to buy the building. I said, do you have the money? I said, yes, my father is rich. And they don't know who is my father. My father has all the money in the world. He said, just ask and I'll give it to you. So our God is my father. I'm his son. I don't have to be afraid of somebody, or I don't have to be slave to somebody. I am a happy man. My father is God. And the word of God says, if your father is God, and he said, ask anything according to his will, it will be given unto you. And so we should not be handicapped people. We are the most powerful people on earth. The word of God says we are his hands and we are his feet, and under our feet the devil is supposed to be. So we are the children of God. We don't have to be worried. Verse 2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, shall see him as he is.
Again, he is trying to reminding, don't you know we are the children of God? We are the sons of God. But he said, now you are the sons of God. Be like a sons of God in this world. But that is not enough. He says Jesus Christ is going to come. He is going to transform us. Enoch was transformed. Elijah was transformed. Think about them. Why they were transformed? Enoch, somebody wanted to kill him because he prophesied that Jesus Christ is coming. And he is coming to destroy the whole nations, whole world. So they thought, get hold of him and kill him. But the God says, he's walking with me, I'll take him. Elijah, he killed the 400 of prophet of Baal God, and the Jezebel's, the king's wife, says, I'm going to kill you just like one of my prophet you killed. So he got scared. Elijah ran and said, Lord, I'm not good enough. Take me home. I want to come home. Otherwise, kill me. He says, I'll give you a couple of things to do, and then I'll take you home. And then he did exactly what God told him to do. And then he sent the chariots of fire and took him home. So now we are living in this filthy earth. Some people like this earth so much. Even though this is a bad earth, there are flowers and trees and so many good things. But comparing to heaven, this is nothing. Some people say, I don't want to go to heaven. Heaven is boring. Because people made heaven boring. Somebody says, what are you going to do in heaven? One person said, we are going to praise the Lord 24 hours. Well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to praise 24 hours. Heaven is not like that. You will be very happy. You would not have any pain, no suffering. You have everything to eat. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay for the house. You're walking on the golden street. You don't have to worry about enemies. You will be so free to do anything you want to do. And so going to heaven is a great thing. And Jesus Christ, the Father and Son, they did not want you come to heaven and you be my footstool. No. He says, you come. I'm sitting on my Father's throne, right hand of him, and you come and you sit right hand of me. So we are going to sit on the throne of God. We are the great people. We are not going to be like a toast around here and there. We are special people. When he comes, he says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That means complete full glory. Nobody saw of Christ. They saw a little bit on the transfiguration on that mount, and they saw a little bit glory when he was going, but nobody saw the full glory of Christ in heaven. All the angels are worshiping him, and the people are thinking, oh, angels are greater than us. No. As soon as you are born again, angels are your servants. They come to minister to you. The word of God says the man was created lower than angel. Jesus Christ took the form of man and he was created lower than angel when he took a form of man. But the word of God says he's greater than angel. He created angels. And now we are greater than angels. Why? Because we are his creation and we are going to be like him. Not a single angel will be like Jesus. Not a single other person can be like him. Only bride and the believers had chance to be just like Christ. And so he said, if you like to be like him, then what do you do? Read the verse 3.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Now he says, anybody wants to come to heaven? Okay, freely come. But unholy person will not enter into the kingdom of God. And the book of Revelation says, no unholy person, no dogs, no sinful person can enter into the heaven. Somebody says, dog is the worst animal. No, dog means backslidden. The people who are backslidden and they never repented of their sins, they will never make it to heaven. Purify yourselves as he is pure. And if you remember, we learn about purification and sanctification at least 7 or 8 hours of teaching. I don't remember, but we have done it. I'll give you in a nutshell. The sanctification start by the word of God. Sanctification start by the blood of Jesus Christ. And sanctification start by the Holy Spirit. There are sevenfold sanctification, but I'm just giving 3 major things. So when you read the word of God sanctifies you, tells you what's wrong with you. When you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, every Sunday we take the communion and say, "As Lord, forgive my sins, wash me, cleanse me." So purification starts and sanctification starts. We are being sanctified every day. And then when you receive the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will guide you, teach you. He will not allow you to do any sinful activity if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and walked according to the Spirit. Somebody says, "Oh, I have Holy Spirit, but I sleep with somebody, and Holy Spirit doesn't do anything." No. Holy Spirit is gentleman. He is not going to bind you. He will say, "Don't do that. Don't look at that woman with the sinful eyes. Don't look. And if you keep on looking, you're going to trap one day." The Word of God says the sin comes very easily, just like a small, tiny little seed. When the lady gets pregnant, you can hardly see the baby. Just the little bit tiny dots. And then within a 9 months or 9-10 months, this big. Even though she did committed sin in secretly, everybody can see it now. That's why the abortion clinics are there. You committed sin, nobody knows. 3 months, we'll get rid of it before anybody can see it. God saw it, right? God knows everything. And anybody goes and does abortions, they will never be happy. They have almost tormenting spirit. They are not happily living, but they don't want to admit what hell they're going through. So the point I'm making, sin comes easily. Book of Hebrews, I said this is the last verse, but things are coming in my mind. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
"Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us."
People of God already made it, finished their race, and we have to go there. So he said, any weight, any sinful activity, any heavy load pulling you down to hell, get rid of that and run your race patiently. Looking unto Jesus, the second word he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Please read that and we're going to pray.
"Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
See, he was looking at the joy set before him. What was his joy? "I'm going to die for the mankind, and those people I'm going to win for me, and billions of billions of people coming to heaven, and I'm going to sit at the throne of God, and my believers will come and we will have great time." That was the joy of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Word of God says. We should have the joy of salvation. Not only that, we should have a joy to winning souls for Christ. Jesus Christ is coming soon and we should be thinking, this body is not good enough. I want to have a body like Jesus. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. This body we are living in, this body is corruptible. So short time we are living in this world, and this world is pulling us down to hell. Give us grace to be holy. Give us grace to call upon Jesus. Give us grace to ask forgiveness for our sins. And keep our eyes on Christ, because you are coming very soon. So Lord Jesus, you have given us the high hope, great hope, and we don't want to lose our sight. We want to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.